This is our special edition news magazine, a two-parter on the series for the upcoming Tulip Queens announcement party, which is this Saturday, November the 16th at Pella Christian High School. We've got representatives of different groups, many of whom have been in this room before, talking about this very event. We've got members of the Tulip Time Steering Committee, the party committee itself, Pella Historical Museums, and one of our previous Tulip Queens. We'll introduce them all here in just a second, but let's start with our steering committee members. And Carol, you and I have worked together now for the past 4 years ahead of this event. What does it mean to have the 12 finalists selected and to be once again getting ready to select our top ambassadors for Tulip Time?
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having us. It is certainly exciting to have these 12 young women be finalists for the Tulip Queens announcement party. And I would say that, as every year, the candidates are strong. And so it will be a great evening on November 16th. I hope folks can come out and join us. It is a special moment for those young women and for the community of Pella to really recognize who will be the ambassador as queen and the attendants as also as ambassadors for our festival in May.
Well, and Jen, you are assuming that role going forward for the next couple of years and working with Carol this year, but you are no stranger to the Tulip Court. Of course, your daughter recently being a queen and yourself as well just a few years ago. First of all, what does it mean to be on this side of the process now, to really be developing these young ladies and really getting to watch them grow throughout the year ahead of the festival as opposed to maybe being on that side of being on the court itself?
Yeah. Well, you know, it is interesting to see the process from this vantage point. I've been a part of this process in a lot of different ways for a number of different years. And so I've just really come to appreciate the steering committee side of things and being able to see things, like I said, from that vantage point. It's just so encouraging every year that Pella selects 12 young ladies who are going to potentially, you know, five of them will be our queen in court for 2025. And it's just, like I said, super encouraging that these ladies are so polished already, so knowledgeable, so confident. And I just think the future of Pella looks really bright based on these young ladies.
Well, and Holly, we've talked about different things on the air over the years, and you are overseeing the party itself coming up this Saturday, and it is really a multi-layered event. On its surface, we can say, well, people I've heard say, well, it's just a popularity contest. It's just a beauty pageant, but this is really an encompassing, really two-day event that starts on Friday before and then leading into Saturday.
That's right. We just really want it to be a good experience for all of the girls, and I think the 12 that go through, even the ones that don't make it on as the queen or the court, really feel like it was a worthwhile experience. And our committee is committed to having that be a positive experience for them.
And then we have some former court members, one of whom is leading our Pella Historical Museums. Jesse Galligan was on the first court that I got to cover just a few years ago as well. And now you really get to see it from a different perspective last couple of years as our director of the Historical Village. What does it mean to be able to see that part of it and how this role has really grown into this ambassador's role and really is an outward reflection of what we're trying to accomplish with our festival?
Absolutely. Like these other women have said, it's just wonderful to see it from this perspective. Having been on the court, like you said, a few years ago, you know, you see it as a young person just entering into the world of, you know, community engagement and things like that. And now that I'm on this side of things and seeing all the people it takes to make Tulip Time happen, to make just this event happen, it gives me a whole new gratitude for every single person that plays a part in both the evening itself in November, as well as everything that leads up to the May Festival. So it is exciting to see so many young people, these 12 young women who are already so engaged and excited to represent Pella at Tulip Time, to see how they want to plug into their community, how they want to volunteer. They want to see more about what Pella Historical does in Pella, and it's just something that I really enjoy watching from this perspective now.
Well, and we have our most recent queen, certainly who at least lives here in Iowa, Queen Shane. Thank you for taking the responsibility and reins on for a second consecutive year, and now 2 years removed. 2 years ago, as we're talking, you were getting ready for this event, and now here you are having now fully served your term as queen. In hindsight, you look back now, what have those 2 years meant to you and this whole process overall and how it's developed you?
From the very beginning, it was something new for me. I was not someone who would just go right up and introduce myself to people. I would smile and wave, and that was about it. So this was such a opportunity for me to discover that I do enjoy speaking in front of people, and I do like getting to know people. And also, growing deeper in my community too. And then going to Central afterwards too, I continue those relationships with people and more people than I would have if this opportunity hadn't been one for me, but this was, it was. And so now I look back and I think that all the skills of speaking and the skills of relating to other people and reaching out and scheduling and managing busyness is definitely something that I'm grateful for now. Now that I'm getting older and looking back too on after seeing Mia complete her year as queen too, it was neat to see how every year really does have that unique personality to it, and every queen does do a wonderful job with what they do. And I know it's not an easy task, but it's definitely one that, like, I look back on fondly, and it's cool to see that as the town grows and changes, the queens change with it, and Pella's always having something new, and I got to be such a part of it for that year, and now I get to take a step back and just kind of soak it all up, and it's been really neat. Yeah.
We're here talking about the Tulip Queens Announcement Party. This is a special edition news magazine. Tickets are on sale now at the Pella Historical Museum's website. So, Carol, you and I usually get to talk then sometime late August, early September about the process unfolding. So how we got to where we are now. You take nominees in from homeschool, Pella Christian schools. All of them are very commonly high school seniors. And then there's a community vote that's now since happened. And then we have our 12. What is that process like each year to see these girls who are very eager, that write these essays that really do kind of leap themselves and put themselves out there? Even the 18, right, the six who didn't get to be finalists, really do take a step forward into the community.
Certainly. It is, like you said, taking a leap. And so they need to make that decision once they're nominated if they want to follow all the way through to the process. So once someone is nominated, they have an agreement that they sign to follow through if they are selected as the queen or court. And for young women to set aside the time that it takes to do the application, answer the questions, meet with the committee, and get their presentation ready, it's a commitment on the front end that they many enjoy. But I know there is a little bit of anxiousness before the Tulip Queens Announcement Party, but we would just want to let them know that they are in good hands. And as Holly said, the committee is, I guess the word that comes to my mind is really intentional about that experience for each of those 12 girls.
Well, and Jen, it's not just we walk up, show up Friday, we're ready to go. Hey, I'm going to be the Tulip Queen. There are, as I know, and I know you've done this before, has served as a coach for some of these young ladies who are working on presentations, who are working on their interview skills. Again, we don't want to just make this a situation where these high school students are just walking in thinking they're going to be Tulip Queen. Many of them are putting in a lot of hours during band season, choir, all these athletic events and so on.
Yeah, it's a busy season for these 12 girls, and most of them are already articulate and intelligent and well-informed. So this just takes that to just a little bit higher level, where they're preparing themselves to be evaluated both on a one-on-one basis during the interview time that happens before the onstage piece of the Tulip Queens Announcement Party, and then the actual onstage part of that. So they're practicing things like interpersonal skills, the ability to think on their feet when asked a question, either about themselves or our community. The intention of that interview is not to trick or stump the girls. It's just to kind of get to know who they are and understand what their desire is in this role. And then there's the onstage part of it that they're preparing for. There's a 3-minute presentation that generally includes at least a minute of speaking. So they're memorizing some type of presentation to deliver to the audience and the judges. There will be an impromptu question. So they're trying to think of just things that they might want to be aware of and prepared for in that way, and just the ability to speak intelligently, you know, when you don't know what question is in front of you. And again, none of this process is meant to make the girls super anxious. It's not meant to trick them or stump them. It's just trying to figure out which 5 girls are really going to be the best ambassadors for our community come tulip time, and then the months preceding that.
Well, and Holly, you know, again, the public-facing part of the Tulip Queen's announcement party itself is about two and a half hours, depending on how long it takes the judges to deliberate. But everyone's working for about 28, 30 hours. Like right after school on Friday, these students are already showing up. Many of them are performing and rehearsing. And during those rehearsals, I've been in on them before. It's not just that they're going up there and practicing. They're getting feedback from Tom and Wendy, who are, you know, trained actors and thespians. They're getting feedback from other committee members. Again, this is not just, a litmus test, so to speak. There is some learning happening, too.
The past queens also have given some of the best advice to the girls, and that's super fun. And the girls maybe listen to the past queens more than us adults. I don't know. It is a busy weekend for sure, all of Friday night. And then they start with another rehearsal Saturday morning. And then we have a luncheon together, which we all enjoy. Then they get a couple hours off and they're back to sit down for their interviews. And that's the part that, you know, the public doesn't see, is that they're going from table to table interviewing with people who are asking them sometimes some pretty tough questions. And then they're on stage, and that's what the public sees. Ironically, I have not seen what the public sees for the last 6 years or so, because I am always backstage with the girls and trying to encourage them to eat either right after they've performed, or hopefully get a little nutrition in them right before. But many of them are nervous before that.
And we don't need him passing out on the stage or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, and Jesse, as somebody who has now worked professionally in marketing in particular, and with this event in Tulip Time, beyond the experience you've got, what I think is so fun is to see different girls that I know even get challenged in different ways. So to Holly's point, they're in front of if they haven't been interviewed by me or someone else in the community, they're getting interviewed by judges who are all these different community members. And they're getting kind of a wide array of their skills really tested and in some cases honed.
That's exactly right. And like Holly was saying, this is a way for us to get to know the individual girls better so that we can see, you know, when they are being asked unexpected questions by reporters, or when they're out on the street during Tulip Time and people are coming up to them and asking for photos or asking them even a question about Pella, that they're prepared to either answer those questions or say, you know, I don't know, but I can help you find the answer to that. And you're exactly right. This is testing their one-on-one interview skills. How are they speaking in front of a larger crowd, which is absolutely something that happens for the Tulip Queen in Court in their presentations that they give the community, as well as on stage during Tulip Time to the wider community and the hundreds of thousands of visitors that come. So definitely something that we're both seeing and also honing in that evening to produce our Tulip Queen in Court.
And Shane, as somebody who just recently went through this whole process a couple of years ago, you're the girl who's sitting there scribbling notes for the script, right? You're the one who's trying to sit there and hone your ability to answer an impromptu question, all in about a span of, what, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. What do you remember about your preparation process in particular? And in hindsight, how did that get you ready then for those 3 minutes up on stage, the impromptu question, and then the eventual announcement?
Yeah. So, like I mentioned earlier, I wasn't in speech, I wasn't in many classes that required me to literally start or study or practice these skills. So a lot of my preparation at the beginning was just, how do I show myself, truly? And I think genuine is a good word for this. So that's what the judges are looking for. That's what the community of Pella is looking for when they come to watch. And that's what is always going to show, because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So this was something where a lot of introspection and thinking about how would I describe myself? How would I talk about myself? That was the first angle I took things. And writing has always been something I enjoyed. So if I could write what and describe myself, and then all I had to do was memorize it. And so that's what I worked on. And then that night also, just with the judges, the first table of judges, I was nervous. I was very nervous. And all the questions were new, and I didn't know what they were going to ask. And I, again, was thinking, okay, I'm going to answer this truly and show who I am. And that's the best that I can offer. And I think that's a good perspective to have, a good attitude to have about it, not about am I going to win or am I going to lose, because it's not a competition like that. It's showing do you have the qualities for this position? Because it's not a light one to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. So that first table, it was new. And then I remember by table 12, I knew how to answer the questions. And I was thinking, I was ready to go. And then that also helped. Then on stage 2, I was ready to talk and ready to speak. And when we rehearsed that Friday night before, too, I never had a microphone taped to my face like that before. And I had that speech. It was ready to go. It was up there. And when I just started speaking and smiling, that definitely was what kind of got me into the, okay, I think this is something that I'm prepared. I feel a little more prepared now. And I remember the night of the announcement party when I gave my speech, I got there and I thought, you know, there's no need to rush. This is something, these people are here to see me, so I don't need to rush, so I can, my turn is done and get it over with. It's something to enjoy, and I'm up there to tell these people about Shane and about what I like and how I can serve them, and that's really what I think the process was like for me in some.
And here we are yet again, Tulip Queen from 2023. We're here talking about the Tulip Queen's announcement party for the 2025 Royal Court this Saturday coming up at Pella Christian High School. Tickets are available at Pella Historical Museums. And we've heard the word judges thrown around a lot, Carol. And I know a lot of people who have served as judges, including Mrs. Schneider. She was about 5 years ago. And one of the things I think the steering committee has really tried to emphasize, this isn't some sort of closed door event. These are very often just community members, community leaders, and it's different each and every year. It's not just some panel of the same five people or just the steering committee going up there saying yay or nay, thumbs up, thumbs down. Usually 30 or 40, depending on the year, all getting together and judging girls like Shane who went through this process on a wide range of metrics.
Exactly. This year, Andrew, we have 30 judges that will be reviewing the Queen and court candidates, both in the interview and then for their stage presentation. So they are selected or recruited, however you would like to say, through our Tulip Time Steering Committee. They put people forward and then we ask them if they are able to serve in a non-biased way. And a lot of times we have new people to the community who sit as judges, and we try to have a balance of that so that they are not aware of who any of these 12 young women are. And then they get a little bit of training on the night of November 16th, right before the interviews begin. They have a ballot that they're completing on each candidate for the interview section, and then they have a new ballot that they use for the stage presentation. And those are calculated by accountants from WellGuard each year. So we appreciate them for their work that they do for us. But it is not anything that is taken lightly by those judges. And I think every year they walk away and are incredibly impressed with the 12 candidates that they have seen.
Well, and Jen, again, I know we've kind of echoed this a couple of times. It's not just the skill that's up on stage. You're not going up there and just waving and coming in and out. There are a ton of different metrics that these judges are looking at again. So they're kind of thrown into the fire, so to speak, that day, ready to go to evaluate these young ladies on a wide range of their skills.
That's so true, because all of those skills will be tested as part of the Tulip Court. So they will be in front of large groups of people, and the Queen will need to speak eloquently and clearly to a large group of people when she's standing on the Tulip Tower. But just as much, they'll be speaking to individuals. They'll be speaking one-on-one to people who have a question. They will be walking, you know, up the street and onto the Tulip Tower. So their ability to be poised and gracious in that kind of context is going to be evaluated. So all of the categories that are on the ballot, they're not just they're not something that we've just created just for some type of a matrix. They are actually qualities that the Queen and court need to have, and it only makes sense that those are the qualities on which they're evaluated on the night of November 16. They are the same qualities that will be used as the Queen and court.
So let's shift a little bit then, Holly, in your role. What does the night of the 16th entail? Again, you don't get to see what's happening on stage because you're hanging out usually with our various nominees and finalists. But for the public side of things, it, like I said, probably what, about two and a half hours, depending on the length of the judging process. All the girls do perform, and there are different aspects beyond that of the show as well.
Right. Well, the final thing they do is they come out in threes and they get answered a question. They've already answered an impromptu question, and they come out in sets of three then, and they are asked a question that Tom has selected from information he has provided them. So it's something they're a little more familiar with and something that they wanted to talk about. And they provided a whole list of things, so I don't know which one that is, but something that they else they have to share. And then, you know, from the judges, like Carol said, the judges get, you know, a little bit of instruction on how they should interact with the girls. And really, those people are all volunteers, too, giving up a Saturday night. And really, their only compensation is we give them a little bit of food right before they go out there. So we're very grateful for them. And So the judges have all eaten. The girls have not yet. And then they get interviewed by these 30 people. And then they take a small breather, very small breather, and there will be some food available for them then. But they wait backstage until it's their turn. They all get introduced together in one big line, and Wendy Vanderwell helps make sure that line is the way we want it to look. And then they come back and do their presentations one at a time. And then they get, immediately after the presentation, they get asked the impromptu question. And then they wait for everyone to have completed their individual time. And they come out and get groups of three where they get to answer that question that they might be a little more familiar with. And then the judges finish up. And we wait until we get the big announcement.
Until the curtains open, yeah.
Yes, yes. And then we're backstage with the girls. The steering committee comes and whisks away the queen and the court. And the committee stays with the other girls that will not be on the court. And girls just have a variety of reactions to that and feelings. And we talk about those are all okay. And you might not even to feel how you feel if you're in that situation. And some are just really eager to see their friends on stage and want to watch that. Some want a little bit more quiet time and find some people that they're close to be with at that time. But we're there to help them be supported in that. And we're very grateful to all of them who went through that whole process. So all 12 of them are girls to be celebrated.
Well, and Jesse, on the night of as well, beyond this portion, which is again why people are showing up, they get to learn about Pella Historical Museums too. Typically, you have a presentation, the previous queen gets to reflect on the previous year and how things went with her group, all the way on through. And I know some board members have spoken before. It's a really good opportunity, beyond, of course, getting to see these 12 girls try to become Tulip Queen, to really learn about what Pella Historical Museums is doing in its sponsorship of Tulip Time.
That's exactly right. It marks sort of an ending and a beginning at the same time. We see the year's previous queen come in and reflect back on last Tulip Time, which is a wonderful reminiscing as we look back. And then it's also a beginning as we select our new queen in court and sort of an unofficial kickoff to this next Tulip Time season. So as we're looking ahead, obviously the steering committee has already been hard at work for the last several months. But along with Pella Historical Museums, working together as we prepare for and plan this festival coming up in May, Pella Historical Museums obviously has been the primary sponsor and organizer of Tulip Time since 1935, the impromptu first one, and Pella Historical Museum sort of coming out as a result of that. We're celebrating 90 years of Tulip Time in 2025, which is just so exciting. So this queen in court might have a little extra work just getting to celebrate 90 years and making that a part of their presentation or what they get to share with the community. And I'm excited to see all the ways that they do plug into the community. As I said before, Pella Historical is obviously an event that tourists and visitors come to, but we really are a community organization, whether that's Tulip Time obviously being the big one, but Kerstmarkt, where we have a booth hosted by Visit Pella, of course, and Kermis and King's Day and Sinterklaas, and we love being a part of the community. We love getting to show all of that off at the Tulip Queen's announcement party when we give a little bit of a presentation. We love it when community members support us with their memberships, their donations, their volunteer time. And overall, it's just, like I said, both this wrapping up of last year, but also celebrating this new upcoming year of Tulip Time and our role in that.
And Shane, what do you remember about last year as opposed to 2 years ago? Because we've kind of alluded to the pressure that's kind of on there and all the other emotions and things like that. I'm guessing a very different experience even for you post-Queen, kind of near the end of your reign, but then also getting to watch these girls up close after just having gone through it.
Yeah, it was definitely different. I was in this that was just me, and also now on the other side, in a way, like, I've completed the process, and my court and I are all in our separate places in college, and we've started this new chapter of life, but I get to go back and watch this again. For me, it was neat to be able to be the one, if they had questions or if they needed help, I could be there for them. And that was something I enjoyed doing. And like praying with them before they went on stage, especially, was something that I was glad that I got to do with them. I think that was important, and I think it was helpful for them. It was helpful for me when Sarah Gritters did that with me 2 years ago. I remember watching the video, that photo video I put together, and that just, it made me almost cry because it was such a unique time. It was such a good time, and even though it was 1 year ago, it was also a whole year ago. It seems longer and shorter at the same time. And then it was so cool to see this whole new group of personalities. Every year is different. And I knew this year is going to be different. It's not going to be the same as my year. And my year was not the same as Sarah's, and Sarah's as Alyssa's. And it was cool to see the beginnings of it all just start to come together. That was the start. And I got to just watch that, and that was super cool. I liked it.
We're here talking about the Tulip Queens announcement party again coming up this Saturday at Pella Christian High School. Tickets available at the Pella Historical Museum's website. And that's kind of the bridge, right? So we've gone through the night now. I'm the first interview, which is really fun for me. Also kind of anxiety inducing a little bit too, because I know I'm going to see these girls a lot over the course of 6 or 7 months between then and Tulip time. And then, Carol, that's when another round of work begins. We go from the committee that is preparing for the party to the committee of moms who follow these girls around. There's been some changes too this year. But obviously then the switch, even that night, flips from, okay, I'm going to be Tulip Queen to, now I'm on the queen, or on the court and the queen.
Yes, and that culmination of the evening is very exciting for those five girls. They are able to go out and be greeted by their family and friends out in the lobby, and there is a lot of joy there. And then pretty soon after that, they are whisked back to the stage, and they begin with your interview, some photos, the seamstresses from Pella Historical come and take their measurements. They have been working hard on a gorgeous set of costumes, and they want to make sure that they get those measurements correct. They will be quickly planting tulips downtown the next week, purchasing their shoes, their dress shoes that go with the costumes. Pretty soon there's a tea that's held at Pella Historical where they'll take a tour and learn about the village and the Schulte House, Kirstmart, as Jesse mentioned. Then in January, they begin their practices for their presentation, and they do some trainings. There's an etiquette dinner that is a fond memory for most of them, along with some other areas of training. So it starts pretty quickly, and then it ramps up after the first year. And there is a lot in amongst all those things that need to happen. There is a lot of bonding that happens with the queen and court. The flower girls are selected, the pages are selected, those costumes get started, and then before they know it, it is the first weekend in May. May 1, 2, 3 this year.
And Jen, the fun part is that the bonding extends beyond the girls, right? These court moms are basically, they'll see them oftentimes, especially in March and April, more than their own mothers, especially with some of the intense rehearsals that go on and some of the other practicing that goes on. Again, the November 16th, for many people, it's the kickoff to this next Tulip time year.
Yeah, those court moms just play an integral role. They are meeting these high school seniors at a time when they a lot of big things are going on in their lives. You know, they're finishing up their senior year. They're potentially selecting a college or a job or whatever they want to do post high school. They're already busy. Some of them play sports. Some of them are in theater. Some of them are in music. So those ladies, they fill a lot of holes. They are court moms, so they, of course, you know, nurture them through the Queen and Court process, but they are also sometimes have to play a mom and just help them process some of the big feelings that they're having during that stage of life. And then, you know, ultimately they help them to really refine their program that they will deliver pre-Tulip time and accompany them to all of the obligations, the places that they go. And then they will chaperone them through Tulip time and Orange City's Tulip time. So it's a big role. It's an important role. It's a role that we're super grateful for. And we know that those girls really get close to those court moms as well as the other court members. And like Carol said, the pages and the flower girls, they really become a very, very strong unit.
And Holly, the last time you see them is very nervously waiting to see if they're selected and whisked away, as you said, by the steering committee. And then oftentimes the next time you'll see them will probably be at Sinterklaas or something public facing, when all of a sudden it's almost as if, I don't want to say a mask comes over them, but there's a new refound confidence often with these girls, especially after getting selected. What's it like for you to switch then the hat from committee member to community member and to watch these girls kind of, you know, go off on the voyage, so to speak?
Oh, really, seriously, one of my favorite things is being a spectator then at one of the parades. And when the Queen and the Court go by, I just still think they're all my best friends. They're like, was that Lee? I mean, they were really nervous. So do they really remember me at all? But I'm just certain. So I'm waving like crazy at all of them and just cheering them on from afar for their whole spring season. Yeah, it's just, it's a joy. And I'm glad I get to be a part of it in that little way.
Well, and Jesse is somebody who, again, has been on the court and then now is really, you know, overseeing a lot of this operation. Outside of our community, the people they may see might be some of the steering committee members if they do like a quick TV interview here or there. But really, it is this group. So the moment they get selected on the 16th, they're very much the public face of Tulip Time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we have news interviews, television interviews. Obviously, they spend time with you on the radio. They go to the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Hopefully, we get that lined up again and are this public-facing entity, like you just said. And people see the Tulip Court all over the state of Iowa, honestly, all over the country, maybe even the world, and they're representing Pella in this way. And, you know, I'm also excited. Not only are they representing Pella to our visitors, but they're also representing Pella Historical and Tulip Time to our community members. They may play a role in helping us get volunteers. They might play a role in helping us recruit for parades and people who are going to be in the parades. So they're there to be a cheerleader for Pella Historical and Tulip Time, both to folks who are going to come to Pella and visit for the first or the 10th time. And they're also here to help share the exciting news of Tulip Time with people in this community as well.
Well, and Shane, what do you remember about that switch flipping, so to speak? Like, okay, yay, I'm selected. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm on the radio with Andrew. Oh, I'm getting fitted for my costume. Oh, I'm getting ready already for Sinterklaas and these other events. How do you remember that switch going? And what was it like to go from I'm nominee to, hey, I'm Tulip Queen, and all these things we said, very much the public face of what's happening with our festival?
Yeah, it was a big switch. It was a big switch, but it was an exciting one. It was neat to, there was always something to look forward to after that. And at first, it's kind of hard to believe. It was Thanksgiving right after the announcement party. And I remember we were with family, and I was like, huh, I'm Tulip Queen now. I was still soaking in. But then, yeah, the Sinterklaas parade was fun. And then we had our interviews with you, and that was neat. And we started to be in more pictures, and then people wanted to meet us. And I just loved it. It was cool to have this new perspective with the Pell community, because I knew a lot of the people already. And I was with my friends, my core, we were friends, and we still are. And so that was kind of cool. All five of us got to experience that together, that transition. And it didn't take very long for us to realize, okay, this is our new responsibility now. And it's an exciting one, but it is a responsibility. So seriousness that we need to have with it, but also knowing that we can enjoy it and we can have fun together. So yeah.
And they certainly have a lot of fun together. So coming up this Saturday, again, the Tulip Queens announcement party, tickets are available at Pella Historical. Carol, you kind of alluded to it, and we'll get Jessie mainly for our ticket information since she's got that all at her fingertips. But we talk a lot about the outward part of this court, and you alluded to it in your last answer. There's a lot of learning that is also going on for these girls. Again, we've talked about all the activities they're in, and these tend to be very involved young ladies in our community. But there has been, especially in the last couple of years, Carol, a real intentionality of making sure that these girls come away with something other than, as Shane just said, I was Tulip Queen. You're trying to add value to what that means.
Yes. All throughout the, you know, late fall, early winter to spring, we are trying to afford the Tulip Queen in Court opportunities to grow as young women and to really help them develop their leadership skills and their speaking skills, their interviewing skills, their dining skills, what it means to present about Pella's heritage and our continuing story, and to really both appreciate that, have enthusiasm for that story and the telling of that story, and to relay that energy and enthusiasm to our guests. So there are ways that they learn about interviewing and social media good practices. I mentioned the dining. They'll take a tour of, the Scoldie House and the historical village. So they're familiar with that. Lots of ways that they get training throughout that spring session.
One of the fun things I get to see too, Jen, is this generational piece. And you're living it, right? With a daughter who is queen and you queen yourself. There's a queen's brunch that happens every year. There tends to be a lot of networking even beyond that, though, that happens with court members who get connected and they see a former court member somewhere. You know, again, it's that extra skill of now you've got a group of people that you can relate to. And for some of these girls, maybe sure they had that in their theater group or their sporting activity or whatever. It might be orchestra in that case. But there is something unique about the tradition and the lineage of the court itself. And it's always fascinating for me, especially near Tulip Time or at Tulip Time, to see these court members come together in different ways.
Yeah, Andrew, I think that's so true. I think serving as a Tulip Queen or a member of the court, it's not just something that you do. It's not just a role that you fill. It becomes part of who you are, and it becomes part of your very personal story. It's part of who you are, and people remember that about you. And so, yeah, that opportunity to gather together on the Saturday morning of Tulip Time as past queens and every fifth year past queens and courts is just such a lovely morning of reflection and reconnection. It's just a really great time to honor the gift that Pella has given each of us to have the ability to serve in that role and make the relationships. And yeah, it's something that will go on for generations. And I know it's certainly part of who I am. I know it's part of who my daughter is. And whoever fills that role this coming season will become part of who they are as well.
Well, and Holly is somebody, again, who kind of takes Tulip Time itself then in and is more of a spectator or whatever else you're doing that weekend. One of my favorite parade moments is when the past queen's float goes by. And then especially on Saturday, when the past court members are also invited, it's some of the biggest smiles you see. And again, it goes to that piece that you get to see starting on that one Saturday in November and how that branches not just to the following May, but years and years into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to see the past queens and courts come by, and I love seeing the future queens float and the future Burgermeister float, and get excited for all the students even then. It's just a nice opportunity for community.
Well, and we'll get to Jesse again in a moment. I know I'm teasing people with that part, but for you, Queen Shane, you know, again, now we're 2 years removed from you being a part of the selection process and now having fully served a term. Again, you're still very much a part of Tulip Time, but even last year I got to talk with you in a lot less formal setting. It's like kind of this weird fun reunion, I think it feels like, for some of the past queens, but also there's still some tiny sense of duty, right, that you were once there sitting up on the stage where Mia was last year.
Yeah, it was neat to pass on the crown and pass on the loving cup and that treasure of memories that every queen, like Jen was saying, it will become a part of their testimony, a part of who they are. And then having that, it is a little more relaxed just on the float with all these other women who have shared this similar experiences, and seeing people you know and celebrating that moment in your life. It went by very quickly, but it was very special. And my favorite day was with the courts, too. That was super neat to see all these other young women who they also had the same thing, and they were with, and they got to come and support and enjoy that experience again, too. But yes, it's definitely a little more, you get to observe. You just get to smile, and you get to watch, and that's sometimes just as special as what you did the year before.
And Jesse, the exciting information we're all here for today. There are still, as I would imagine when this airs, tickets on sale. They do go quickly, especially on Saturday, but really an opportunity for our community, not just to watch some very, you know, strong young ladies of character and of skill perform, but really get a chance, Jesse, to be a part of that experience. And they can all start by going to the Pell Historical Museum's website, as we so often talk about.
Exactly. It's a fun night out, and it's an exciting night to see the talents of 12 young women in the community on display. So if you go to our website, www.pellahistorical.com, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see a rectangle that says Tulip Queen's Announcement Party. You can click on that. It'll take you to the page where you can buy your tickets. They are $10 per seat this year. And we might sell out online ahead of time. Usually we do have some spots available at the door as well. So you can purchase day of at the door. We'll be at Pella Christian High School this year. We're asking for cash or Venmo only. $10 cash or $11 Venmo to cover some of our expenses. But it is an exciting night. It's the place to be, the first one to know what's going on. And definitely grab your ticket now.
And then the night of, Carol, people can get in a little bit before 7. We're not just flooding in at 7 o'clock. I know we'll be set up for a radio broadcast. Just want to put that out there. If you can't make it, we do carry that live and have it recorded. We'd rather you be there, and doors open a little bit before 7.
Yes, the doors will open at 6:15 that evening. All your seats will be assigned as you'll select those spots when you purchase tickets, so there's no rush to find a seat. But, yeah, come enjoy the evening, and we'll kick off our journey to Tulip Time in May.